greatest things you invented. I pray that you would bless all of them that are here, and I pray that you would bless this reading of the Word and this discussing about what motherhood is all about, that it would bring encouragement to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We did yard work yesterday. Some of us did. Well, we all did yard work yesterday, except for Mom, who did assignment sheets and other stuff. While I was out yesterday running the blower machine, you know, we have an electric leaf blower, and I just got thinking about what an incredible woman Valerie is, and what a neat thing it was to have her around our house, and I don't know how to say this except that I just got Andre is the only one in the room who's going to understand what I'm going to say. I got thinking about how my wife is an entropy-reducing machine. Now, don't worry, I'm going to explain it. Some of you don't. Entropy is this scientific word you learn in thermodynamics or in various other courses for the degree of disorder, right? That's lots of disorder and chaos is high entropy, and everything all organized and put together is low. So the Veriden kids get together and build their big tower of blocks or Legos, and Ivan comes along and smash. That's entropy increasing, right? That's increasing the level of disorder. I don't know why they defined it that way. They just did. There's lots of entropy-increasing machines. I was using one yesterday, the blowing machines. That's why I've got thinking of it. There is a general rule, men appreciate them more than women do. There are things like bombs, guns, blowtorches, entropy-increasing machines, wrecking balls, chainsaws, jackhammers. The world is full of very efficient entropy-increasing machines. I point my blower at the leaves in the corner of the yard, and they just go boof. And I'm very fascinated with the whole process. And Valerie's like, they just went everywhere. But it's still something fun about it for us. Now, machines in general, there's this rule that says machines in general cannot create more order than they disrupt. There's like fancy names for this, but trust me, there's this law that there is in the universe more and more disorder as we go through time, which is just attests to men on the whole are getting their way. you'll get that one on the way home. But there is this rule, as supposedly there is no machine that will increase entropy. They had not met Mom. I am convinced they had not met Mom. I think MOM is an acronym for Entropy Reducing Machine. I know the letters don't match, but it's probably Latin or something. It can't be short for mother, or it would have been moth or mot or something like that. Entropy Reducing Machine. When Valerie walks by a desk, when she gets done walking by it, it's all neat and organized. When she walks through the kitchen, all the stuff is back in their places. When I walk through the kitchen, I'm more like the leaf blower. Everything's everywhere. Moms are incredible people. And I want to take a little while this morning just to honor them. Honoring mothers and motherhood is a good thing to do. All through Proverbs, we hear how children, I don't know why so many times it says sons, but it does. Children should honor their mothers, and children should pay attention and listen to what their moms taught them and not let it go in disrespect. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. That means remember what she told you. Remember what she told you to do. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So what kind of son blows off what his mom says because she doesn't get it, or because she's always thinking about whatever she's thinking about, or because she isn't perfect and why should I pay attention to her? What kind of son treats his mom like that? The foolish one. The foolish one despises his mother. Now, I'm sure this was written back in a time when all mothers were good. All mothers were perfect and had no flaws, so that it applied only to them. Got the sarcasm yet? You're not getting the sarcasm yet. We honor moms for two reasons. One, because of the sacrifice that they have given to give you the place in life that you have. Not only to bear you, but to raise you, and all of the things that they have sacrificed for you. We honor them for that. We also honor them for the position that God gave them. God created, he invented motherhood, and we honor moms because this is something that God invented. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. So a wise son or wise daughter welcomes his mother's input in their lives. Do you welcome your mother's input in your lives? Let that one soak in for a little bit. A wise son and daughter does. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So no, we cannot give it all up when they get old either. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Ooh, that's gory. I think that last part is a symbolism in that is that the bad boys of the day are going to run over you. And who is it that they run over? It's the one that scorns the obedience to his mother. You know, back when I was growing up, they used to have a derogatory word they used to describe boys who did what their mothers wanted instead of what their bully friends wanted. They would call them mama's boy. That's right. They would call them mama's boys. Well, it says here that the bad things will happen to the eyeballs of those who scorn obedience to their mothers. You should have told them that. You better keep your eyes shut, buddy. Your hands over them. So today, we are honoring motherhood, and I want to do it by just drawing out some things from the Scripture that show how mothers show us God's nature. You know, motherhood, just like fatherhood, was designed to show us what God is like. And mothers show us something about God that we would never see if it was a world full of just fathers. Don't think about that too long. That's a little scary. The world was just full of just fathers. Way back in the beginning, God ordained motherhood. In this verse, I'm going to be referencing a lot of verses, but I'm going to go through them fast enough. It's going to be hard to find them. This one is from Genesis 1, verses 26, 27, 28. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now this is, God says this a couple of times when he says we're going to make man. And in some cases he's talking about man as man and woman. In other cases he's talking about the man Adam. In this case he's talking about man and woman. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion, them, man and woman, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And here's what we were getting to. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. God created man, male and female, in his image. There are some of the characteristics of God we see very readily by studying the behaviors of men, of fathers. And there are some characteristics of God that we see readily by studying the nature of women and mothers. And we're going to talk about the mother's part of it this morning. There's one other thing that I wanted to point out, that this is all before the fall. God created motherhood and raising children as something that was part of the world that he called good. It was all good. Of course, something went wrong in the fall, and what was increased was the pain in childbirth. But the idea of motherhood was something that God created from the very beginning, and he called it good. And just a little interesting thing, I pulled a lot of these notes out of a message I gave back in 2008, and so one or two of you may recognize a couple of things, but I thought it was funny because of some of the illustrations they put in there. So you might listen to them every once in a while. You hear an illustration from back when James was about 5 years old. And so I just left them in there because they were fun. But one of the things that I had noted back then that I found really interesting was that if you were to ask a lady, on the most part, if you were to ask a lady, if you didn't have any pain in childbirth, if having kids was just as easy as eating a meal, would you like to have more kids? On the most part, I think they would say, yeah, sure. But if you ask men that, they might have to think about it. And I think that's just the difference that God made. Men and women are different. He just made us different. And in the heart of women, he put things that show who he is and what he's like. And part of that has to do with being mom. First way in which mothers show God's love, it's by taking care of their children. You ever seen those pictures for mission organizations in Africa or in India? They got a little round-faced baby with dirty arms and legs and little crust of food on their mouth. Remember those they used to have all the time? Straggly hair, and all underneath all that, they're cute anyway. Let's face it. If we lived in a world of fathers, all of us would grow up like that, probably. Caring for children is something that is built into women and girls by their Creator. It shows His nature. It brings them fulfillment. I found this illustration in from my old days. I thought it was funny. I was remembering getting James and, well, still David, ready for bed. And I had some experiences over the last several weeks of how I would tell them to go and get ready for bed, and they would go off and go wherever they go and do whatever they do, and Julianne would go and go to get ready for bed. And she would keep not only get herself done, but keep them going too. And that's how I could just probably tell Julianne, why don't you get the kids ready for bed, and I'll meet you for the story in about 15 minutes. It comes with the package for girls. Now, moms, they care for their kids. They like to dress them up. Another thing moms like to do when they care for them. They want to make sure their kids have nice clothes, clean teeth, clean bodies, even behind the ears. Good manners. They want them to have nice hair and trimmed fingernails and strong muscles and bright eyes, and the girls have pretty shoes and the boys have a nice belt and tie. And why is this? I know some of you guys are saying, yeah, that's what I want to know. Why does mom do this? I'm about to tell you. Is it because they don't like looking at their children when they're all dirty? No, we just went over that. You remember that phrase, it's a face only a mom could love? They didn't say it's a face only a dad could love. They said it's a face only a mom could love. That means moms can look through all that stuff and love them anyway. It's not the reason. Actually, they see the value in those kids. They think they're wonderful. They think everyone should be awed at them, and so they dress them up so that people will see. You know, guys, when you're dressed up and you're looking nice, people will assume you're a nice person. They do. And when the girls are dressed up and looking nice, people assume that they're a nice person. They want to dress them up to show them off because they're worth it, because they're valuable. And God likes to dress us up too. He likes to show us off because he cares about us. It is really like God because he sees a value in us. He sees what we are worth when no one else sees what we're worth. Well, we were the spiritual equivalent of that dirty-faced boy that I was talking about. We were disobedient children. We were doing our own thing. God still loved us then, and he saw the value in us. And he saw what we were worth. He saw what we would become. He sees a potential in us like moms see a potential in their kids. And he started washing a little behind the ears, trimming a little hair, and cleaning under the nails, and sometimes it hurts. But God keeps working on us, and he keeps cleaning us up, dressing us up, because he sees something in us that sometimes even we don't see in ourselves. So even when it's uncomfortable, let him do it, even behind the ears. Second thing moms do to show God's love is they teach their children. Moms start teaching babies from the moment that they're born. I had the privilege of witnessing all 11 of our children being born. I had 10 in my notes. all 11 of our children being born. And now, man, this is a quiz. After the baby, you can answer this one too. After the baby is born, you can guess, and they clean off all the goo and they give it to mom, while dad is looking in the baby's beautiful eyes and he's wrapping his brain around the fact that both mom and baby are alive still. I think that's our job. We worry about whether mom will live. Mom is never worried about whether she's going to live. While dads are going through all that, what is mom thinking about doing? Do they feed the baby? Teach the baby to eat. They don't come out knowing how to eat. It's like, great, cute kid, now it's time for lesson number one. We're going to learn to eat. And that's only the beginning. When they get the baby home, they teach it to hold its head up. I used to think they came out knowing how to hold their head up. I didn't know that you got all bright things and you showed it to them and went around so that they'll follow it and stuff, to teach them to look around. They teach them to hold their head up. They teach them to smile. I thought that came with the package too. But they teach them to smile. They teach them to sit in their high chair, to eat solid foods, to use silverware, to tear up magazines. Valerie liked to teach them to tear up magazines. Teach them to say dada, because all babies say dada first, don't they, before they say mama. Long before moms have ever considered to homeschool, they have been teaching their kids all kinds of things. Here's an example. How many dads have actually taught their children to use the toilet? I don't mean accompany the teacher to the first lesson and participate in the celebration. I mean, they actually taught them. I didn't either. Then moms continue to do this. They teach their children to read and write. They do arithmetic, teach them to brush their hair and their teeth and to make up their beds and to say please and thank you and to read their Bibles every day and to say their prayers, to do kind things for their brothers and sisters. When they get older, they teach them to read literature and history, math, science and grammar and spelling. They teach them how to pray, when to pray, how to cook, to clean, how to take care of things. They teach their young ladies how to know a nice man so she can recognize him when he comes around. And they teach the young sons how to recognize young ladies of character and how to dress themselves up so they can attract one. They can find themselves a godly woman like mom. Moms have a heart to teach, and God does too. I was amazed at how many verses came right out, easily found from the Bible that talks about God teaching. Here, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe. that you may live. Behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches like him? That was from Job 36. And then several from Psalms. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, the psalmist said. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble, he guides in justice. And the humble, he teaches his ways. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He who instructs the nations shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge? It is not just individuals that God teaches. I think it's just telling us he also instructs nations. He also instructs mankind. You know, that we talk about scientific progress. Scientific progress, we usually hear, is pushed by the determination of men. I think God teaches us stuff. I think advances in medicine and science and some of the big things that we call, you know, our progress, God teaches us. Some people have a progressive view of history. That is, over the years, you know, sometimes they way oversimplify it, but, you know, back in the old days, men lived in caves and they beat each other with clubs, and over the years and generations, they got better and better, and now us. Well, to some degree, I agree with it. I don't totally agree with it, but to some degree, I agree with it. But what progress we have made in civilization is because God teaches. God teaches nations to be better nations if they will listen. The third thing moms do to show God's love, they believe in their children and encourage them. They believe in their children and encourage them. Valerie believed James, this is from the old days, could eat with a fork long after I had given up on him. He did learn. See, she was right. And on the whole, he remembers. Yes, I had figured. Back in 2008, I had decided that he was meant to live in the country where they all ate like that. He was almost six, right? He was only five, so. Moms have an amazing ability to believe in their children when no one else does. Do you ever watch a mom encouraging a baby to walk? I mean, all of us guys can see right off this is not going to work. You can take one look at them, and anyone can conclude that there is no chance of success. But mom keeps picking them up and standing them up and smiling at them and cheering them on, and the babies eat it up, and they teach the babies to believe that they can do the impossible. This is the first lesson in faith. Believe you can do the impossible. I can actually walk, and they do. I remembered way back when I wrote this originally, this story, and now I can't remember who it was, but I was attempting to teach one of the boys, I think it was Gregory, to ride a bicycle. Maybe you remember. Yes. It was you? Okay. Yes, mom has the memory, and she passed it on to Jessica. So, for weeks, I was going out to the cul-de-sac where we lived. We lived not too far from here. And I was running alongside, I'm pretty sure this was a subsequent child, but anyway, no, okay. I was running alongside and I would hold the handlebar, you know, and then I would hold the seat and run along with him and trying to teach her to ride a bike, and every time I would let go, just a little bit and fall over. And so Valerie got out there one time and... It was just her. Okay. Yeah, Valerie got out there one time, and after a few minutes, she just went, and off she went. That was it. It's like, You gotta believe you can do it. She's ready. Just let her go. Believing. She taught Jessica to believe in herself. I think that is one of the reasons why moms are so proud to see their children graduate. Because they always believed in them. All those years that they were working with them, they knew one day they were going to wear the gown and stand on a stage and it would be done and they would actually have learned all this stuff. It's like vindication for mom. I knew they were going to do it. I knew they could do it. Let's see, we have graduates. James is going to graduate. Did anyone else graduate junior high? It's Max? Max is graduating junior high. Great. And is there any? Luke is graduating junior high. Oh, awesome. Anybody graduating high school? I couldn't. Daniel's graduating high school. Awesome. And Kent graduated college. And Andre graduated college. And Christine's graduating college. Sure. Awesome. Well, anyway, I'm sure all of their moms are enthused. God is like this. When we stop believing ourselves, He still believes in us. Of course, He's got a much deeper knowledge of what we are capable of what we are like, than moms do. So in the end, while mom is still just pretty sure you can do it, God knows you can do it. And He knows everything you need is ready, is available to you. So when God says, come on, Junior, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. He actually means it. And it is a faith lesson, just like mom teaches you to do what you thought was impossible. God teaches us to do what we thought was impossible. And we learn a faith lesson. When he tells us, you can do it. What is amazing sometimes is what He decides to encourage us to do. We know it's impossible. But He still encourages us to do it because He knows it is. And God is so like this, encouraging us and believing in us. The fourth, mothers show God's love by praying for their children. Praying mother is one of the most powerful things in the universe. It has been the root cause of the breaking of the hardest souls, I'm convinced. I found this story from the autobiographical notes on Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, very famous missionary who founded the China Inland Mission. And this story is about him. One day I shall never forget, recalled Hudson Taylor, when I was about 15 years of age, because my mother was absent from home, I had a holiday. I guess he was homeschooled too. Mom's not there, so we're just kicking back. I had a holiday. In the afternoon, I looked through my father's library to find some books with which I could while away the hours, because they didn't have internet back then. He couldn't play games. I turned over a basket of pamphlets and selected from among them a gospel tract, which looked interesting, and I sat down to read a little book in an utterly unconcerned state of mind. Little did I know that at that time, what was going on in the heart of my mother 80 miles away. She rose from dinner in an intense yearning for the conversion of her son, and she went to her room and turned the key in the door and resolved not to leave until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour did she plead for me until at length she was constrained to praise God for that which the Holy Spirit had taught her was accomplished. In other words, she came to believe because the Spirit had shown her it's done. In the meantime, I had taken up this little tract and while reading, was struck with the sentence, the finished work of Christ. And the thought passed through my mind, what does the author use this expression for? Immediately the words, it is finished, came to my mind. What is finished? And I replied, a full and perfect atonement for sin. Christ died for our sins. And a light, as a light flashed into my soul by the Spirit, there was nothing to be done but to fall down on one's knees and accept this Savior and His salvation to praise Him forever. When Mother came home a fortnight later, which is 2 weeks, I was the first to meet her at the door and to tell her that I had glad news. I can almost feel her arms around my neck as she said, "I know, my boy, I have been rejoicing for 2 weeks." You will agree with me that it would be strange indeed if I were not a believer in the power of prayer. Now, there are many stories like this one, and mothers are the greatest prayer warriors when it comes to their children. Mothers show God's love by praying for them. Christ prayed for His disciples. Do you remember this? Christ prays for us, I think, even now. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," who's Peter, "indeed he has asked for you," that is, Satan has asked for you, "that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Jesus stayed in prayer for Peter that he would stand strong because he knew Satan was going to come after him. Christ is our advocate. He prays for us. God shows His love through mothers and the way that they pray for their children. The fifth way God shows love through mothers is by the way that they lead their children to have a relationship with God. They lead their children to a relationship with God. Moms are relational, more so than us fathers. Men, we do good to learn from our wives on this subject because it's come so much more naturally for them. Fathers excel at teaching doctrine and principles, facts and beliefs, but there's no one better than mom to teach the nature of the relationships. Think about this, for example. Who is it in your house who remembers the birthday cards? Mom? I am convinced that if it were up to me, I would wreck most of the relationships in my life if I didn't have Valerie to help me, including the one with my own mother. For example, how many of you wives bought the card that your husband sent to his mother? If mother's here, you don't have to answer that question. mine did. It's not only that. Actually, that was from 2008, too. So she's been doing it since then. Not only that, it's, "Have you called so-and-so? Have you followed up on them? Have you written a thank you note? Did you ask them how their family was doing?" And I say, "No, I just asked them if I could borrow the lawnmower." "You might say something nice to them," she'll tell me. You might ask them how they're doing. She even thinks that you ought to have a relationship with your coaches and teachers. And mothers understand what it takes to keep healthy and good relationships. When a mother determines to have a relationship with God and she teaches it to her children, things really happen. Because nothing is more powerful than seeing mom reading her Bible, seeing mom taking regular time to pray, seeing mom crying out to God in a prayer request as they come through, like Valerie does so often. She'd gather the kids around. "There's something we need to pray about. Let's all get together and pray for this." There's nothing more powerful than coming to mom with a problem and have her sit down with you and read you some scripture that explains what you needed to know, and have her pray with you and take you to God. A mom who sets a tone of thankfulness and praise and joyful service to God in her home is a powerful thing. People just love places like that. And I'm convinced children who grow up love to come back to places like this. Mothers show God's love by leading their children to a relationship with God. So, the five things that in review, moms show God's love by taking care of their children, by teaching them, by believing in them and encouraging them, by praying for them, and by leading them to have relationship with God. You know, motherhood back in 2008 and today is still very underappreciated. Moms are often discouraged and overwhelmed. And the work of mom, so many people just want to outsource it. Let's send the kids to someone who's cheap. And so you can spend your time making some more money. Now, it's often that I understand that a lot of young moms have to work to bring in some money. I understand how throughout the years there's times and there's places that moms have to do that. I don't want to confuse you by anything that I'm saying, but when moms work, they make money, there's a built-in encouragement in the fact that there's money in the bank. They feel even appreciated by that. There's something that you get for it. When moms take care of the kids, if people don't honor it, it's just you get up the next day and it's the same stuff all over again. And that's why I wanted to just take a minute today and honor the value of what they do. You can't pay anybody to do this and to do it well and do it right. It's just way too expensive. I wonder if you can, most of you are sitting near mom, if you would just put a hand on mom this morning and we just pray that she be encouraged, that she be built up, and that she be anointed for the job of motherhood. We'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we just touch these moms that are here today. We just touch them and we bless them. We pray that you would build them up in their spirits, that you'd give them joy today, that you would give them a sense of your pleasure on them for what they have done and for what they are doing, that you would let them see your face as it smiles on them, that you would let them see that this is something you made them to do and that you are very happy, that you are very pleased with what they have done and that you are there to build them up and to encourage them. And Father, we just pray that you would lift their spirits, that you would give them hope where they are discouraged, and that you would just build them up in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.